Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. We look to you this morning once again, to your goodness, to the abundant riches of our Father that has been placed in Jesus Christ, that in him, Father, Lord, we know that as you approach thee, you will give and bless us, Lord, to our needs because of the riches in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for today, another day, just coming together, Lord, to honor your resurrection, worship, fellowship, to hear the word of God. Whatever, Lord, there be in our hearts, there be burdens, and there be pain, Lord. Maybe our minds and our spirit are disturbed, Father, because of so many of these things that is going on in the world. Things that, Lord, are just distressing the souls and the spirit of mankind. But these things should not be, Father, in our life, because you have given us the peace in Jesus Christ. And therefore, Lord, even this troubled time that we live in, and all the problems that we have, truly, Lord, we cast it upon you, for you care for us, Lord. And so, Father, right now, be with us, Father, as we gather in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that, Lord, your presence be here, and open up our heart and, Lord, to hear thy word, and come our spirit, Lord, to be able to listen. So we commit now all this to you in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we are in the last 16 verses. From verse 8. Our last verse that we were on was verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind to Jesus Christ. And things that, of course, we are very thankful for because of what God had done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, it's quite a well-known verse that often we quote. There are all this description that is given here. Whatsoever things are true, number one. Whatsoever things are honest, two. Three, whatsoever things are just. Four, whatsoever things are pure. Five, whatsoever things are lovely, and six, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, seven, if there be any praise on these things, whatsoever these things be, think on these things. Now, if you want to analyze these things, many times we look at, well, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But not all things that are true have virtue, if you do not know how to act on these things. Oh, take for example, like the Bible tells us, if you see a brother sin a sin, and that is not unto death. You see him maybe like you find him smoking, or maybe you caught him drinking. Or maybe you caught him going to a total booth. Whatever. Huh? Now, those things are true. You saw him did those things. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? You should go and talk to him, you know, encourage him to the right kind of life. But then you do not want to report these things to somebody else. Do you get a point? Now, another thing may be that you saw somebody came out of a beer joint and maybe a disco. You are not suddenly saying, oh, that brother, he must have gone to disco there to dance or whatever. that may not be true. You understand that? It is true that he came out of it, but he may not be true when he is, that he goes inside there to dance. Maybe he is there for some other reason, to look for a friend or something like that. So we need to analyze. The Bible says, if whatsoever things are true, if there be any virtue, there be anything that is praiseworthy, then you think on this thing. If it's not, then don't. Whatsoever things are honest, it's the same thing too, regarding what is truth. You know, being honest, being sincere, being honest. A lot of people say, I'm an honest person. Well, you may be an honest person, but you may have committed a few things that may not be truly honest. And if people find out that out, that person should not hold it to you, to your account. There are people who say, they'll say, I'm honest. But out of 10 times, maybe 7, 8 times he's so dishonest, then you know that he's really not honest. But if a person says he's honest, one or two times you call him being dishonest, doesn't mean that he's not honest. Do you understand? So that's why the Christian life is that we do not judge a brother or sister over one or two issues in life and lump everything that he is like that. Alright. Whatsoever things are just, just means fair and square. Whatsoever things are pure as to something that is clean, holy. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good report. The whole thing is that there are six of these things here listed. And that's what six represents man, as we know, and that's what is affecting us in everyday life. And these are the things that we should look at. That if these things have any virtue, and it's praiseworthy, then we think on these things. Now, some other thing that we can think of would be, if there be anything, whatsoever thing of good report. Like what? Like, for example, now, today, I received a letter, I received a couple of emails. Malawi is in famine and drought. And the brothers, they are asking for some help, for food. You know? And, of course, this report comes, an honest report. That's true, that's an honest report. The brother who sent it is an honest report. It's a true report. No doubt about it. But the other thing is that I have many times received these things, but the person who sent those reports may not have the kind of virtue to really seek for the kind of help when they really need it. They just send a report to say that here we have our country is in drought, in famine. You know, please help. And they just leave it to us to help without doing anything on your part. Do you understand that? I believe that God supplied all our need. He did not supply all our desire. That is something we need to know. So a lot of times, you know, I get all kinds of mails seeking for help. And like putting the ball in my court and ask me how to handle this thing. You know, to stir me up and say, okay, you are brothers. We are believers. We are in a family of God. You should help us because we are in trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if there be any virtue in a person to ask for help, he must do it right. But there are those who do it without the true virtue of Christ in them. Do you understand that? So when I get this kind of email, I want to see whether there's any virtue in this, whether there's any praise, you know, in these things, whether it is truly a brother or the church out there that are really in need of it. Do you understand that what I'm saying? You know, not like some say, oh, Brother Gunn, we know I believe in the message of Brother Branham, but we are a small congregation, we are poor and this and that, and asking us to help when they do not put any effort in their own, into their own hand to do it. And we all know this, the Bible says the man who don't work, don't eat. So he does just simply go out begging. Do you see that? So that must be virtue. When you help somebody, you are not going to make the person worse than he is already. Do you understand what I'm saying? If a man and a woman has hands and feet healthy, and he starts begging, what do you think? Are you going to keep on helping him? So much so, if you help him and just give him all your assistance, he's going to be a parasite on you. So that is, there's no virtue and there's no praise in it. So all these things that listed here, whatsoever things are true, honest, or just, or pure, or lovely, or good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then you think on these things and do it. Alright? This is what Paul was saying to the Philippians. And they are saints that really love the ministry of Paul. They love Paul. They love Paul because of their love for Christ. Then Paul encouraged them to continue doing all these things. Continuing the virtue that they have of the Lord, doing things that give praise to God. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which you have both, one, that is the first part, you have learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do. I think Paul said this also to Timothy. Follow me as I follow Christ. So learn of me and receive of me the thing that you have heard and also seen in me, you do it. You know, we have in the Bible so many examples of the saints of old, the saints of the New Testament. All their examples are given here in the scriptures. And these are laid down in it. We learned, we received from the Lord. And these are the things, therefore, we want to do. Do it. Then the other thing here, you heard and seen in me. Paul said, my life is an example. You heard of my life, you have seen my life. You heard of my action, you have seen my action. Follow it, do it. So brothers, how important it is for every one of us likewise to remember that our action, our character, our walk with the Lord in this life, it's a reflection. And people are looking at it and they will copy. That's why you need the children tend to copy the parents too. How they talk, how they act. The parents are quiet, the children tend to be quiet. If the parents are noisy, the children tend to be noisy. In a way that is very true. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughters. Is that alright? Yes or no? You don't agree? All you do is just watch our own children. And watch somebody else's children and see how you take to it. It's just the reflection. So the same thing we learn from the characters on. Well, sometimes, you know, I look at the Bible and see, oh my. I look at myself in the mirror of God's Word. And I liken myself, okay, I'm like this fellow here in the Bible, I like the fellow in the Bible. How many of you are examining yourself? Who do you think you are like in the Bible? Who do you think you are like in the Bible? You know one thing, I noticed one thing of those people who are named Peter, I'm so glad there's no Peter here for the moment. Those who are named Peter, they are very much like Peter in the Bible. They really live up to that name. All the Peter that I know, hot-headed, very sure of themselves, you know, and like Peter when he was, you know, said, no Lord, you will not, they're not going to take you, you know. And how he took the sword and started to slice off the ear of a soldier. You know. So, who do you think you are likened, like unto in the Bible? To me, when I look at it, sometimes I read about Paul and all this, I say, wow, maybe I'm just like, so much like him, you know. In character, in the way that I go about doing things. Huh? Some of you are like Martha. Some of you may be like Mary. I know some sisters are like Mary. Love to hear the word of the Lord and they like to learn more about the Almighty God. But there are those that are like Martha, all busy serving. But some of you may be in between both of it. You know. So whatever it is, our life reflect, our life, our action will impart to others a spirit where they can catch and they can follow. And you know, here it is where we have the issue. When we come together in the church, very important that it is that we should dress right. Now, I emphasize this many times already. We come to the service of the Lord, we come to the house of the Lord, we should dress proper. We don't want to dress, you know, just like we dress at home or sit at home, you know, in our maybe, well, what we always say, third-rate kind of a clothes at home, you know. And we go out, of course, when we go out to have dinner with maybe company dinner, or perhaps we go to somebody's birthday party, so we dress right. And I believe the same thing when we come to church, we need to dress right. Don't let us come simply, you know, in our week, we call it Malay Titapa, you know, simply in a way that, well, we don't present well. I know I'm not asking you to dress. I said, madam, I'm not asking you to dress to kill. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to dress like you are a millionaire. You see. Brother Bam had a coat that has a hole, you know. You go to church, you always use the Bible block that hole. But he's worth a millionaire. You know what I mean? Because that is the only coat that he had. And he doesn't want anybody bought it. Just a little hole. It doesn't matter. You see. Because in America, they all wear coats, more or less. You understand? But I don't believe he have only one shirt, you know. And I don't believe that you have only one shirt. So let us dress proper when you come to the house of the Lord. Let us wear proper, you know, shoe wears, and things like that. We're not going to wear flip-flop to church or clocks or things like that to church. We should dress something that is proper. You know, I'm glad when it says unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So we go to the house of the Lord to appear before the Lord. So these are the things, you know, Paul is trying to tell us how important it is that we reflect. I said this many times when I was in the Philippines. And the brothers there were all kind of taken aback. Because many people go to church, you know, many of these men, young men, they go to church wearing T-shirt, they actually ring out Coca-Cola. Literally. Those days, you know, they would, you know, the slogan of Coca-Cola, things goes better with Coke, they keep on singing that song and things like that. And then they watch the song, they sing Harmony, what's Coca-Cola, they took out Harmony song, they used to use a popular tune. And people were wearing because Coca-Cola given all this free shirt, things go better with Coke, you see around Coca-Cola dot there, you know. So, I said, we shouldn't. I don't think this is the only shirt that you have. If you don't have, I'll buy you a shirt. Let us don't come to the church of God and advertise for a company. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Don't ever come to the church and advertise for something with a big advertisement on your T-shirt. That ain't good. We come to the house of God and us dress the best that we can have. Or if not the best that you have, at least something that is presented before the Lord. Some people don't think that it's important. Hey, go to India and see for yourself. No matter how poor those Indian people have, they dress the best when they go to church. You won't believe it. They dress the best when they go to church. Many of them. I saw in my own eye, these people, they don't have very much. But they dressed the best. You understand? At home, they just simply put on maybe a T-shirt and do the work, whatever it is, or just a grubby shirt. But when they go to church, they dress right. So when we learn to remember that we are also imparting to others by our way of life. So do those things that is right, and the peace of God shall be with you. And I rejoice in the word, in the Lord greatly. That now is that this, your, at the last, your care of me have flourished again. Wherein you have, we were also careful, but you lack opportunity. Now here Paul was recording again the incident of the love of the Philippine Christian, the saints, for him. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last, your care of me have flourished again, have revived again. Your concern of me have revived again. Wherein you were very concerned, at one time you lack the opportunity. Paul now was in prison. And he was very grateful that the saints of Philippi had such concern for him that they now were given this opportunity once again to be able to help Paul. And Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And he didn't say, I rejoice in you, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now, in all things, we give praise and thanks to God. In all things, we rejoice in the Lord. Paul thanked God because of the love of God in the Philippians. And they took the opportunity to help Paul. They were concerned about Paul. Now, here Paul, of course, was talking of himself now in this last part of the scripture as before he signed off in this epistle. He talking so much about himself in his understanding relationship with these saints. And I want you to notice it very carefully because don't get me wrong now, because this is also for those who are hearing it on the online, on the website. It goes out also to those who are listening that they may understand their minister, their pastors, or the ministers in the church. Paul is using himself and his relationship with the old saints that whom he had a relationship, the church that he know, the church that he founded. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now I rejoice in the Lord greatly because of your care for me. Not that I speak in respect of a need. For I have learned in whatever situation I am content. Do you know what it means by content? Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So Paul is content. He don't have a need of anything. In whatever situation, Paul is able to be happy. He has been in prison. Now he's in prison. He was in prison here. He had been shipwrecked. He had been robbed and beaten and thrown about here and there. But he still was content. You understand? Let's see what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. Right? Thou shalt not covet. A man's life is, a man's riches is not in what he had possessed. A person may possess a big bungalow, house, they're worth $2 million. He may have owned 4 BMW. You know, you have seen some report in the paper, some people really buy, I don't know, how many BMW, you know, and specifically even paid, I don't know, one big sum of money for a certain number plate. Things like that they do. And they go out there, wear a Rolex watch, and bangles of gold that weighs maybe 350 grams on one of each, on each side of the wrist. You know that, don't you? You see. And all kinds of credit cards, maybe 10, you know, from MasterCard to Visa card to whatever. They possess all these things. But riches and life is not in these material things. Many of time we do desire something in our life. Especially children. And parents, be very careful, don't load your child. Oh, daddy, there's a new iPod coming up. Can I have the new iPod? Beautiful iPod. You know, daddy can do a whole wonderful thing. I can make use of it. I can really use it very well. So, okay, I will give it to you when your birthday comes. And you think that you promised your child. So from one and all this, you know, I think that some of you should look back. How many within a period of 5 years, how many handphones have your son changed? How many MP3 have your son changed? How many whatever have your children possessed these things? You know,
We maybe say that when we are young, we don't have these things, but you know, now is the days when the children, we have our children, we love our children, we want to give it to them. But you know, I hope that the children don't grow up to be in a way that becomes so covetous that no matter what, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Because I have a colleague, when I was working in the hospital, he's a nursing officer. My goodness, I couldn't believe what I see every few months. He loved these Nissan cars. Every time there's a new model in the market, he will change it. And you can see him people changing. You know, it's just unbelievable. And he just upgrade. One year, the car for 6 months, a new model came out, he will train that for a new one. He was so just so covetous in having that kind of a car to drive in. He may not cover other things, but he covered that thing. So in life, when we come to a place that we are not contented, because now, for example, some of us may be a computer. Oh, mine is a Pentium 3. I want a Pentium 4. I want a Pentium 5. I want a Pentium 9. Whatever you might come out in the market, you want it to. Is that alright? You know, my son was saying last time when I was still using Windows 3.11. He said, oh, Dad, you're far behind. You know, it's 95, 98 XP now. You know? So I was using 3.11 still, you know. It does the job. You see. So if we don't content ourselves, we will end up become very covetous. And Paul said here, not that I speak in respect of my need. Paul never tell the church in Philippi that he had need. Sometimes also the Bible says, let your request be made known, right? True. No. But Paul does not really talk so much about it and make his request known as often. I have need, you know. Every one of us have need. Paul said those things. Says, not that I speak in respect of want, of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What I have a lot, I'm happy. If I have little, I'm still happy. I'm content. More or less, whatever, I'm happy. You know, that's I have learned my lesson also many times. We are citizens of Singapore. We have many things in Singapore that we can easily obtain. And the easiest thing that we can obtain in Singapore is food. Don't you think so? You walk down a road, you turn a corner, there's a coffee shop. You turn the right hand, there's a restaurant. Deli France, McDonald's, chicken, fried chicken, whatever. All over the place. And then when our mama cooked the food, or our wife cooked the food, ooh, not so good, you know, not so good. We are critical. Maybe this is that, that's that. We complain a lot. We do a lot of complaining many times too. Yes, I'm guilty of it. I put my hand. I'm guilty. I'm very guilty, yes. You know, oh, this is not nice, this is not nice. We become so critical, you know what I mean? You see. Not that we don't eat it, only this is no good, this is no good. We take a bowl of food. So I was asked, how is my food? Okay now. Now we said nothing further. I said, okay. You know what I mean? We said, okay. So okay, okay. You know, it's good. You know what I mean? So, You learn to understand that, well, food is food, you know. Maybe it's not palatable, not so nice, whatever, it's still food. And when each time I eat this time, whenever I eat food, I often think of those that do not have. In many countries, that's why many of it breaks my heart when I go to Africa. And you see those brethren out there in the convention, all they have is just maize and red beans and a little salt. That's all that they have. Maize. Maize and red beans, big red beans and some salt. That's all that they have. And when I sit down meeting like this, I just, my heart goes out. You know. And because the wife of the ministers, the organized convention will always cook some better food for the ministers, you know. And so we have meat and vegetable. So it really breaks my heart. And because these are organized by the brethren in a locality, and believers come from all over the countries. And so they don't bring their own money, they expect to be fat. So how much money do they have? You see. So that's kind of hard though, because if the convention lasts 5 days, so one time I just give $100 and come out to where everybody got one small slice of meat, that's all that they get, for a few hundred people. You know, because meat at that time in that place is expensive. And being that you are inland, you don't get fish. All you get is catfish. And they are not easy to come by. So all they have is, well, beans and vegetables and something like that that they have. So, Paul, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Alright, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 to 10. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. For now, I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he see me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most greatly therefore will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to know to have been commanded of you. For in nothing am I behind the very cheapest apostle, though I be nothing. Now, you look at Paul's situation here. He said that I don't want to make myself above anybody. I don't want you to look at me because, well, because I'm an apostle and therefore I have such great revelation, you know. And you think that God take care of me or everything. Well, in a way it does. But you know, Paul said, I have my own infirmities. I have this thorn in my flesh, in which I prayed 3 times and the Lord did not want to take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. So actually Paul is saying, even to the Philippians, even in this epistle, Paul knew that this Philippine, the saints look to him. You know, like we have today, Brother Bram, in our generation, those who have been around Brother Bram look at the man with awe. Wow. You know, he had such a fantastic gift. Is that right? Wow, the Lord must be with him. He has no problem. God will supply everything. He will be healthy. He will have no problem and this and that, you know. Which is not true. Because we all are human. God allow us to go through a process of maturity. Whether you be his apostle, his prophet, or whatever it be, you all go through that. But tendency is that we all tend to look at the man. Wow, look at, I think they all look at Paul. Wow, Paul, look at his revelation. Look at his revelation. You know? But Paul had needs. And the Philippine saints, they knew Paul had needs. So when he was in prison, what do you think that they sent Epaphroditus to him? What did they think they sent to him? Was it some medication? Maybe he got some bruises here and there. Maybe he was sick in prison because perhaps the food there was not good. Maybe the water there was no good, because remember it was a pagan jail, pagan prison. So they sent Epaphroditus there with some gift, something for him. Maybe his money, I don't know. Maybe whatever. Maybe some good, healthy tonic. Something for him, something cared for him. And Paul wanted them to know. I know, he said, I do not speak in respect of want. That I need this, or I need that. I need this, and I need that. Many times we all do that, don't we? You know, when I want to tell you this. When I was when I was overseas traveling in the field, most of the time I'm alone. There were times when I was sick, you know, down and out, and because of the pollution there, and the worst case was in the Philippines. One time over in Africa, I was down and out, I was in the room. I didn't show no sign to nobody when I go out there and preach. Just get up in the morning, spit out everything that is in my throat or whatever is clogging up my sinus, just spit it out, brush my teeth and all this thing, goggle and everything, just to get myself up and going. Preaching, go back to the room and lie down. Man, I was struggling, I couldn't sleep at night. You know, took some Panadol and all this thing, you know. Sure, I can tell the church, you know, no, I'm not well, you know, I canceled the meeting or whatever it is, but I'm traveled all the way that canceled the meeting. And I know that I can be just what Paul said, what the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And I think that Paul's pain, torn in the flesh, the pain in his eye, I think must be very severe that he had to pray three times for the Lord, to know the Lord's will. Three times. But I guess maybe that God going to keep him, or humble him, keep him in a state of humility. Because after all, he was given all this great revelation. Imagine a man whose mind or his spirit is caught up to understand all these mysteries. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, you know, Paul was boasting to instances in his word, like he was so arrogant. Do you understand that? He warned the people. He wanted those who think that they are preachers and are prophets or spiritual teachers to take heed to what he said, the word of God. He was sure of what he was saying. He knows. And you know what? Because of his zealousness for the Lord, for the word of the Lord, that's what he was actually. That's why he went out there and took all those Christians, bring them into judgment and put them in the prison. Because he was so sure what he had was right, and those people who followed the way, you know, those people who believers of the way, Jesus said, I'm the way. That time they were not called Christians, the people of the way, the believers. That God knew that he was a man who had zealousness for the word of truth. But he was blinded by tradition. So when God turned him around and give him all that, he was able to contend that. Now, he can say, contending for the faith. But God had to make him suffer. He said, you should suffer for me. Well, over Asia Minor, my journey, you know, weeks in the high seas, and thrown around, and shipwrecked, and beaten up. Well, I don't think he ever complained. And I believe that many of us would. You know, when I went to India this last trip, it wasn't something that I looked forward to because I never like to play. I have been there many times and I try to keep myself away from going to India. You know. But if there is a need to go, I have to go. Because the Spirit of God compelled me to go. For reason that the people need the word. So when I went, of course, I had to face all this pollution. I had to face the humility all that dirt. Do you see? So I have to just content myself to be in that state. And when I was in Bombay, that was after one day of preaching there. That night, in the middle of the night, my throat was just acting up. And even now, it's still not clearing up in my sinus. So, you gotta bear with these things. But, after all, what could it be but the grace of the Lord that give us that strength to go on. And whatever you, brother and sister, have in this life, whatever trials that you're going through, God's grace will be sufficient to see you through. The next verse, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have instructed both to be full, to be hungry, and also both to abound and to suffer need. To be abased means to be low, to be brought low, not abased in the sense that, you know, put you down to shame or mistreated. No, in a time when you are low down. When I'm in the valley, so to speak, I know how to live my life when I'm in the valley. I know also how to live my life when I'm in the mountain, when I am abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. When I have plenty, I'm happy. When I have little, I'm also happy. And I think this is thing many of us, perhaps, in Singapore may not find ever come to this situation, really, to say that I have little. How many of you, of us here in Singapore, can say that I have little and I need more? There is no poor people in Singapore, actually. Much more than to say that the Christian people. Most people in Singapore that are average and well off are the Christians. You'll be surprised. You see. And so what need do we have then? What need is there that you need of? In fact, we all have abundant. So when a time comes when we go through a test, maybe we don't need to physical things, but maybe emotional things. Some people have no emotional support, perhaps. So, but I need emotional support. So whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, whatever it is, we need to contend, to be content. When you have plenty, or when you have little. Paul said, I have already learned to be like this. And truly it's something that we learn. It's a process of learning to be content with what we have. Do you know? Oh, now the government say, you're all going to get money. Right? So, you know, for most of those who pays their tax, those who earn 24,000 and above, they get less, didn't it? And those who earns perhaps 48,000 and above, the little sum of money that the government give for this is they chicken feet. You may think there's nothing much, right? But those who are really poor, those who earns 24,000 and below, oh, they're happy. Sure, it's a lot of money. 2,000 maybe. Those who get 600, so little. No matter what, even when the government came out with this budget, package budget, there will be those that are unhappy, wouldn't it? And there are those that will be very happy. But if for us Christians, we are not happy, even if the government should give us only $100 and compared to those who get 2,000, can we not be content? And sometimes we tend to compare, oh, God bless the brother or the sister more than he bless me. Huh? How do you compare blessing? Yes or no? Paul was blessed. I think Paul had the greatest blessing of all. He threw himself into prison and I'm blessed. Huh? Robbed and thrown upon the high sea. I'm blessed. Would we be blessed? If should there be some trial and tribulation comes, can we accept the trial and tribulation? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Isn't that right? It's for our growth, for our maturity. It is not just all about, oh, this great revelation or that great revelation. The more that we have, the more that we have the responsibility to to give it out, to share. More that we receive, the more that we give. Is that right? So think about these things. So Paul says, whatever the situation, I know how to live that life. When I'm in prison, when I'm robbed, when I'm beaten, or when I have plenty. You know, Paul preached to some high dignitary, huh? You know that, don't you? Huh? And I won't be surprised if some dignitary says, come, have dinner with me. Wow, look at the sumptuous feast on the table. Correct? Paul definitely will not sit down there, pour all on the plate, one big pile. No, he certainly wouldn't. I see. And even with the little that he had, out there somewhere when he's alone, he thanked God for it. And I think this is kind of life that, it is hard to learn, but I'm trying to learn that. If I were to go out there, we go on a long journey many times. I have brought myself with me health bar. You know those health food bar? And I brought me some beef jerky, sort of beef jerky that is Taiwanese type. I went out there with brother John Mark, traveled a long journey in Uganda. We were in the packed bus. Public bus, of course, and we were packed, sitting on the aisle. So, I'm the only strange man there. Musungu, they always call him. I'm a strange man there. So, it's a long journey from east to west, or west to east. So, the bus came on to moving. So, people eat the biscuits or whatever, So, I took out my beef jerky, so to speak, the Taiwanese beef jerky, and I give some to brother John Mark, who was with me. And all the passengers looking around, some of them say, hi, what is that? Can I have some? Well, why? They are just like, can I have some? So, okay, I just give them a little bit. Oh, very nice. Another one said, I want to have some too. Okay, these people never taste this before. All right, everybody just give some. Keep the rest a little bit and say, that's all that we have now because this is what we have to last us for many days. So that. And that's what we have. The joy in what we have and be able to share. And we go on a long journey just on that biscuits and that the jerky. And even in India, when time is going, all I eat is fruit. Fruits, water, fruits, water, biscuits. But life is hard when you go on a long trip. No wonder the American brother who was with us says, brother again, missionary work is not for me. So, especially when you travel. It's not that you go to the city. Go by air, land on the city, go to a 4-star, 5-star hotel, and that's it. No, go inland, and it will be a different thing. I always remember what God did to me. He always played a trick on me. The first time I went to work in a hospital, Woodbridge Hospital, mental hospital, the first ward that I went in was the worst of all the whole wards in the hospital. Threw me right in a place where, whoa, says what? These are mentally defective people, patient. Little kids to adult. You go early in the morning to work, you take over duty, the whole ward smells. Why? Because they just defecate. All over, their hand, their face, their mouth, you got to get a child and pick them out to the bathroom and spray water on them and scrub them up. So we have to literally strip down to our just the trousers and what you call an apron. And clean them up. That was one trick God played on me, I would say. Then the first time when I went overseas, the first place I went to was April in India, Busawa, right inside. And the degree was more than 100 degrees. Was 42 or 43 degrees Celsius. I says, what? My following day, my lips all start cracking up. First time. But the Lord teach me how to handle the situation. But that was a good thing though. You got to come face to face something first. Not something simple, and then suddenly you got a big shock. Go have a shock first. What is this like? And I believe that if I'm not cut out to be what I am to be, in this ministry. To land in India, and Abraham says, nah, there's no way I want to go overseas anymore. There's no way I want to be a missionary or an apostle or go out there to establish it. Nah, I'm not. You know. So Paul, why? Paul, when he was met by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, God put him out in the desert for 3 years. Huh? He didn't go and look for somebody to teach him the word of God. No, he went out there. God brought him out there. I don't know where he was, where he lived and how he lived. How did John the Baptist live? He was surrounded in the desert. How did he, was a man of the world, what did he live? How did he live? He probably have the camp somewhere, in the, you know, out there in the wilderness, Paul out there in the desert somewhere. Huh? Like a boy doing that, a Bedouin, you know. Today they have out there in the tent. Although it was not much difficult for Paul to have a shelter because he's a tent maker. He was a tent maker though. Right? So that's the life it is. And Paul is always telling people, you know, don't look to me for all this. I'm so special. You see? I'm not. I have my own need. But I learned how to live when I'm in the valley. I learned how to live when I'm in the mountain. Or somewhere between the mountain and the valley. Whatever. When I'm in the stream, whatever. I learned. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Now this is really a well-known verse. Let us go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 20. 2021, sorry. Remember the word that I sent to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Whatever situation you are going through, Paul here is saying, whatever situation he has been through, he knows he can do all things through Christ who strengthen him. And knowing what Jesus said, the servant is not greater than the master. If the master went through all that, what about the servant? The servant is not special, you know. But Christ is our Lord. He sent us. He is our Lord. He went through all that because God sent him. If God sent him, he became the servant of man. And he went through all that. So, if God sent us, then do you think we not go through the same? So, what special privilege is the servant's? Because the servant is anyway no greater than the master. But Jesus Christ went through because the Father strengthened him. Remember? He prayed 3 times. And the Lord sent an angel to minister to him, to strengthen him. So, Paul is saying, I can do all things. Not by himself, but through Christ who strengthened him. Let us go also to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lily, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. How am I? Some of people I've talked to were afraid. In fact, I was talking to this visually handicapped man on the bus, the one that is featured in the paper today, the majeur, the one who came to massage me once in a while, I call him. I talked to him this morning on the bus. And he was worried about his son. After he passed, where did he get a job? He said, a lot of people now, they could not get a job. And I think perhaps it is true in most people. Now, Zoya had no job for a year now. Just wondering when he's going to get a job. But I believe that we put our request before the Lord, and our Lord will guide us and give us what is best for us. It is not about money. Tendency people says, I want a job that pays me so much. And I don't think it's about a job that pays you so much. If a job can pay you so much, $10,000 a month, and you're miserable because you have to go to the office at 8 o'clock, and you come back at 8 o'clock in the night, and then you go to the shower, go to bed, and hit, and then get up early in the morning at 6 o'clock, prepare everything and all these things because you have group presentation, whatever it is. From 8 to 8, by the time you spend there working for 1 or 2 years, your hair are all white and your face are all wrinkled up and you are going to die very soon. Are you going to be happy with that? It's not about money, it's to be content with what we have. In those days, early days, I told my son, of course, that in those days, we don't think about the job that we want. We just said, we need a job because we need money, because our family needs the money. We need food on the table. So one job comes along, we can work. So I found myself end up in Woodbridge Hospital. Maybe I need my head examined. And I'm in a mental hospital, but you know what? God put me there because I want to be something that God doesn't want me to be. You know, I just want to do that. It never come to pass. I tried. No. You know? I could have worked for SIA. No. And up there, yes. I have no problem getting through the first test, which was 100 questions in don't know how many minutes. And I got all through. From 2,000 people cut down. 500, I mean, about more than 1,000 failed. So the rest went for a second round of interview. And this time I'm bored. I'm really stupid because I never check up and read out what the company owns. What kind of plane, you know what I mean? They said, what plane do SIA have? I said, what plane do they have? Plane? What kind of plane are you talking about? You know, they said, oh, I'll give you an example. It's like Fokker Friendship. You know, I don't know about this name of the plane. You know what I mean? So they think, oh, you're not interested in my company because you don't care about this. So, you know, at that time, we were not thinking about that, you know. And on the table were all the screwdriver and spanner and all these things. Of course, this has no problem with me, what this thing do. You know, but they asked me about company, about plane. I said, oh. So I went home. I know I don't get a job. You know, so I applied for this, applied for that, and up, feeling my head examined though. So I went up to the Woodbridge Hospital, but that was what God desired. Put me there, as it was a place that is, we always call it government for sicken men. You know, it's a place that is on the corner of the island of Singapore, like, you know, hopeless cases. These are all hopeless cases. But now people are more aware of mental health. In those days, you know, Singapore is just, after the independence, not for many years, so it become a lot of problems. There are certain more important issues to solve. So that place is not solved until a couple of years back only, maybe 10 years back or so. You know. So, but God put me there as a tribe, just like a wilderness. You can see the oppression, you feel the oppression down there. You know. But I'm glad, because after all, it's God's will. It's how he matured the person, he pulled the person through, you know what I mean? Shape and mold the person. That's why sometimes you think about life, you have a little problem, take it as a challenge. Take it because God is shaping you. You know what I mean? He is not putting it so bad that you cannot cross that hurdle. Huh? You see, God knows that you are able. But sometimes you feel so bad, so 1 year is still passing, you go down 10 years before you pass. So you go through a life, you learn it so slow. Some learn fast, some learn slow. So Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Mark 13:11. Mark 13:11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit. So we don't take thought for tomorrow. We don't take to worry about that. Because God is able to strengthen you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. That's what happened. When I went overseas, You know, when you go to a place like America, got all the African nation, there people are very educated, they're very argumentative. So you go to there and people start to argue with you, you are faced with question challenge. Even in the Philippines, when I was there first time, you know, some of these ministers there, they wanted to challenge. They wanted to question you. You know. So you do not know what they're going to ask. So they ask. So the only thing I could stand on there is that, Lord, you take over. Because what can I do? Because I don't know what I did. Not like some preachers in this end time message. What question do you have? Okay, give me a piece of paper and I'll give back tomorrow, give you the answer. They have already a laptop in the office, in the hotel room. So they go back there and tap, search. You know what I mean? Court search. And then all the courts of Brother Abraham say, oh, Brother Abraham said this. Tomorrow morning they come to you and give you the answer. Brother Abraham said this, Brother Abraham said this, Brother Abraham said this. If I, as a minister, do not have the revelation, do not have the gift to know the scripture and give the person the answer and try to bring the Bible in, then I cannot be a preacher. Do you understand that? Why do you think God sent me out only after 10 years? I came to the message in 71. I was sent out in 81. 10 years before I was sent out. All those years I know God would put me out there in the Woodbridge Hospital to learn. That's when I spent my time with my Bible, night duty, from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning. 10 hours we work. We go there, we took over duty at 9 o'clock. Okay, take over duty, dispense all the drug, what that patient, what they have, and they go to sleep. So from about 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I would probably take my supper. You know, and there, open up my Bible. Read, study. Then make my round, whatever is necessary. Sometimes I'll be so tired, go to sleep on the bed, on the my head on the table. You know? So, I spend that much time, and those days, not three nights a week. Three night shift, 3 day shift, you know? No, it's 7 nights in one whole stretch. So by the time the 4th night comes, we're already, so you know. So really nuts case, your head cannot maintain. If you don't have a sleep in the afternoon when you go back. So I pump myself with coffee. And keep on moving. And so I go out there in the field, walk around a little bit. So that's one way to learn. And I thank God for that. That's how much time that I have. If I'm not out there in the hospital where I work, you know, if I'm working like day shift, day work, I wouldn't have the time. I can tell you that. But I'm thankful that this work was able to give me time. I work from morning shift from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. From 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Either whichever, I have time to come back and learn scriptures. 10 years before God sent me out. And today we have a lot of people, they say, oh, I came to the message. And after they're reading about 10, 20 books of Brother Abraham, they became preachers. And that's why you have more preachers than anti message in many countries. And they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. Look at Singapore! All those fellowship out there. What do they have? Ministers, they're not willing to learn. No, they think that it's okay just to go with a big group. Go with those in Canada, go with those in America, Australia, whatever it is. They think that they are safe. Huh? The brother told me, I don't need to know what the Garden of Eden was. I don't need to know the Mount of Cain. Because this do not affect my salvation. It will not affect my rapture. You see the kind of reply I got? I said, no brother, you don't need to know. And neither do I need to know who Brother Abraham was. Because this does not affect my salvation. Neither it affect my rapture. I don't need to know about the Godhead. I don't need to know about the serpent seed because this does not affect my salvation and my rapture. Anybody can say that. And I told a brother, I said, don't quote. Because it's a pass me down from America, Canada, all over the world. Brother Abraham had everything. Paul had all the revelation. Paul had the revelation of the seven star, the revelation of the seven candlesticks. He had the revelation of the seven thunder. I said, show me the Bible. Show me the Bible. I said, Paul didn't even say that. Where do you get that? I said, you made it quoted because the American cannot believe that. I said, brother, let's be sincere with the word of God. It's not there. Say, it's not there. And just because I preach where the Garden of Eden was. God give me the revelation. God give me the revelation of the Mark of Cain. Because I taught that, I preach it. Oh, you got power bank. Brother John preach power bank, they not preach it. So, you don't need to know. Nobody say you need to know. But hey, brother and sister, the Bible said let us go unto perfection. Isn't that right? Let us go for maturity. My people perish for lack of knowledge. They come out of an understanding. But he brought me to preach those things. Oh, it's important. And some people told me, as long as Baba don't preach certain subject, I mean it is not important for the bride. Is that so? Is that so? Let me say this, the seventh thunder is not review. No matter what these people say, it's review. It's baloney. The Bible says, even the prophet himself says, it's not been opened. It's not revealed. But they quote here, quote there, it says it's revealed. Show me the scripture. The seven thunders of the seven seals, show me the scripture. No wonder. Brother Bam told Brother Jackson, you stab in the word. That's what it is. And God told me also to stay with this word. There is a place, my me, stand on a rock. And the rock is the revelation of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Didn't God told Moses? There is a place by me, stand on the rock. What are we standing? There is a person by me, stand upon Brother Branham. You know, that's why people have become pulling away. That's why, brother and sister, do you know what? All these years on the website that we have put a website, it was God's grace to move me because Zoe was having her own website. So I never thought of putting on a website. Zoe was having her own website, you know, free website from joecity.com. So I was still, okay, so how do you do that? So of course, as gulchy as she was. Okay, this is the way, so simple that, this. Okay. So I opened up, I subscribed to a free website, and of course it's empty. So how do I put it up? Then she said, this. Okay, forget it. I learned something of it from her. Then all I do is say, okay, Lord, I'm going to learn something. All I did was, when I go to the internet, I look at the internet pages. Okay, I like this design. So I copy it, download it, and I open it up and see how this thing works. You know what I mean? So you're kind of hacking into all the basic templates. You see how it works. Oh, okay, put here. So I use the front page. You know? Oh, look at this. Oh, I got it. Voila! So I give myself a pat on the back and say, okay, I did it. So I put it out. You know, when I put it out, all these years, I got so many emails. There are people from different places. Europe, Brazil, South America. I got it from Canada, I got it from America. I got it from Africa and the Philippines. You know, they came across our website. They said, we are thankful to God, for God that opened our eyes to this. You know? And there are many that came out and they told me, so Berger, I want to give you a little offering. I want you to send me your book. I want you to send us your book. Then I asked them, how many people are there in the church? What church do you go to? They said, no, we are left all these big churches. We are sick of all these things. We're now just a couple of us, me and my wife, my son, children, maybe just a couple of brothers and sisters from the other, you know, who laugh also. So probably just a handful. Maybe your one hand or two hands, a number of fingers you can count. Just staying at home and just sharing the word of the Lord. You know, that's all. And they're just the way because they cannot go any place. You know, and some preacher, maybe there are two preachers, maybe a same pastor, even laugh. They have to have their own because they cannot stand all these codes. They cannot all stand all this fanaticism that goes around. They lift up Brother Branham. They can't. You know. And so on. My last one was I got a letter from some place not very far from Durban in Africa. He came across a letter. He was so, you know, confused because of the first he goes to go on a weekday, put on tape. Go on a Sunday, quote some scripture, quote some words of Brother Branham, and he got all this and all this and all this. And he was told he cannot do this, cannot do that. So, he says, what is this? It's become very chaotic. So he started going on the internet and search and just go, you know, find about Brother Branham and other churches. Voila! Came across our website. And he read. He said, Bergen, I want to send you your books. And then answered me some of this question. It seemed that Brother Twi of Fiji, the Lord will not allow him to go back to sleep. When he happened across my website just before he was about to leave from his computer table to go to his bed, Then he came on reading, he wanted to close on, but he came down again and he started reading again. He read for 2 years before he wrote me. Because he learned, he said, a lot of things I'm reading just exactly what should be the truth. Why are people so afraid? Because of Brother Branham! You know, don't you ever speak against Brother Branham, Brother Gunn? Am I speaking against Brother Branham? Huh? Brother Branham says he's a man. He can fail. He made mistakes. I'm telling you that he's a man. And he makes mistakes. Oh, no, he don't make mistakes. Who's right? Who's wrong? The only person that don't make mistakes is Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? He would have made the biggest mistake if our Lord Jesus Christ refused to take the cup. Is that all right? Now, how can therefore that Brother Branham never make mistakes? Brother Gunn, in the pulpit he's prophet, outside of the pulpit he's prophet. I say, I know. Like a man who is a doctor, he works in the hospital as a doctor, but he's outside and the home is still a doctor, of course. Because that's his profession, that's his calling. But for every word he speaks in the pulpit, outside the pulpit, they're the words of God. Oh my. What would you have? You are adding to the scripture. Remember what I said about the Bible? All scripture is given by inspiration. For correction, for reproof, and so on. Then the man of God will be thoroughly furnished and do all good works. We are talking about the sufficiency of scriptures. 66 books. Is it sufficient? Is it sufficient? If I give never on a board of rice, say, there is not sufficient. So you add it up. It's okay. Not sufficient. Yeah, some more. So that's sufficient now. One more scoop? No. That's over. Take out one scoop. That is under. The Bible is sufficient. It's not more nor less. You cannot add. You cannot subtract. And whereas so many people in the end time are so foolish. You cannot know the revelation without Brother Branham. Who said so? Who gave revelation? It's the Almighty God. How many people have sat under Brother Branham and helped Brother Branham preach? And how many came to the revelation? Not all. Isn't it? Because it's not him the giver. Isn't it? It's not him he gives. Not him. It's God the giver. So that's what revelation is. It came from God. It comes from God. So therefore, let us not add to the word. Let us stay with the word. Do you understand that now? Why I believe what I believe. And I believe God will cry with strength on me in all this. Notwithstanding you have done well, that you did communicate with my affliction. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Right? Paul said, well, you have done well, you know, you communicate with my affliction. You didn't separate from me. When you look at my condition, you did not keep back. You have done well. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicate with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You only. You know, about the other churches in the Bible, huh? Paul said, you are the only one that communicate with giving and receiving. My goodness, think about it. Paul said, nobody give it to me. Only you. You know my need, you give it to me. Oh. You see how it is? For even in Thessalonica, you send once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, so it's not Paul looking for a gift. You know? Paul didn't ask them for it. Give it to me and you'll be blessed, like today modern evangelists. Give and it shall be given unto you, add unto you and press down how many times, you know? They will tell you this. So they pass the bucket around and collect the money. And all the money goes into their pocket, of course. But Paul never talked about these things. He talked about giving to the church, he talked about giving to the necessary, well, all these things. You know, but he never asked them for money. But when they give it to him, he made mention of it. Not because I desire a gift. No. I'm just telling you because you have communicated with me, you saw my need, and you give it to me. And I thank God for it, he said. Thank God for you. He didn't thank them directly. I said, I thank God for you. That's what I like about it. You want to see them having the fruit. You know what? Some people say, Berger, I've been overseas, Berger, you know, better have to preach about tithes and offering. So whenever we preach about tithes and offering, the church think that ministers after their money. I said, well, maybe some people do that, but just preach it once. Teach them, talk them, because the blessing is on them, not on you. You preach that not because they give it to you. You preach it because God will bless them. You understand? You see, and when God bless them, then they will bless God back and give to God what belongs to God. And then God bless you in return. Do you see? Paul thanked Christ, thanked the Lord Jesus for the Philippine. Because the Philippine, having understood what Christ wants to provide for Paul, so they provide directly to Paul. Do you understand that? That's why I thank God for you. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's so true, isn't it? I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Some people say, I give. Hey, let me tell you something. I already said one time, which I've written in my book, in a little page. Né? Sometimes there are so much slogan, the Lord just put in my mouth. One time when I was working, you know, we have in the hospital, the phone, and you can see that some of the staff was using the phone and talk, maybe talk to a girlfriend or talk about everything, you know what I mean? So one day I put a little note there. Speak only what is necessary and not more. I can't remember how it was phrased. Speak only not more than what is required. So I will look at that. Huh? And the same thing with giving. Giving is not true giving until you first give what belongs to God. What belongs to God is the tithes that belongs to Him. You understand? Then after that, then you're giving to the Lord. And when you give to the Lord, don't give to the Lord and say, Lord, I give. Bless me, okay? No, that's not the way to go. You give because there is love in your heart. Because God has placed that love in your heart. God has placed that gift to give out. You know one thing about the word? It is true. The Bible talks about giving. Give a cheerful heart and everything. Then there is the joy. That's why this book of Philippians is the joy. Because of the word of life. It's real. It's make real. So you do in it. You walk in it. You have that joy. Do you understand that? Some people go to church and say, I never get understanding. You know, there was this guy who was corresponding to me on the email all these few weeks. I think he just frustrated me. He said, I want to know more about your teaching. Tell me what to begin with. I'm a believer, not his. So he's a Christian. He says, born again. Okay. So I said, okay, start with the scripturally the truth. You read it halfway, he said, after a few pages. Oh, I don't understand this. You're pointing me to another source to get the source. Can't you teach direct? So I'm trying to explain to him. Still cannot get it. Then he come up again. I said, okay, forget about this one. Continue and then the other. Come back again. I'm stuck with this. You're still referring to me another source. What other source? Just because I mentioned some other source for you to read, find out more, why do I have to repeat everything? Then I said, okay, forget about it. Now go and read another book. Read about his inheritance in the saints. After he said, he read a few pages, again you give me another source. What other source are you talking about? You know, all and on and on, he said, don't understand, don't comprehend. And I said, maybe we talk about numeric. About Bible numbers. So prove to me about Bible numbers. There's no version of scripture talk about Bible numbers. Now I say these are patterns. Why did the Bible talk about 12? Why so specific about 12? Why must one come in and so forth? He says, no, I want scriptures. Then I said, the Bible says, thou shalt not smoke. Did the Bible, was there a scripture that thou shalt not smoke? So, but you know, we can get it from the Bible. The Bible said the body is temple of the Holy Spirit. I said the same thing. There is something that infers, something that implies, something that shows a pattern that this one should not be done. So I said the same thing with the numerals and many other things. So in the end, he came on coming back. You're referring me, so why can't you teach simply directly what you think is your opinion? So in the end, I says, well, I think you better find another teacher. Because there's no way. There's no way, you know, because he kept coming back. Because he was just like another person who was just finding fault with something here and there. So I don't know what waste my time, because I sometimes feel that sometimes the devil will use some pretty good word, just put me on one side and argue and argue and argue and argue. As Bible says, I'm not called to argue, just to preach the word. You see. And I said, I told him, you are the first person of all the many who have read my book that they sick him on saying this. You are referring me to another source. You are referring me to another source. You know. I asked him to read, okay, Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger's numeral book, you know, numbers in the Bible. He said, no, this is his opinion. There is no scripture, there is no verse that say one is equal to God and four is equal to earth. And you know. So I said, there are patterns. And he asked me to prove it in the scripture verse. I said, no. They said, you cannot comprehend this, you can't comprehend that. You know. So you see how people are, so you cannot do anything like that, but, well. Alright, here let's continue. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law of flesh working against you. Amen. And I like that. That the fruit may abound to your account. Sometimes you say, oh, I give to the preachers, you know, I get blessed. It's not because you give to the preacher, you get blessed. Because you have the knowledge of the word, the revelation of the word. You understand? And you act accordingly. Amen. But I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus the thing which was sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Oh my. Paul used these Old Testament images or symbol. This, you send this gift to me. I have all. I'm full. What you have sent to me was an odor, an aroma of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Go to 1 Corinthians, Chronicle. In the Old Testament, 1 Chronicle, and chapter 6, verse 40. Now here we see the priest working a temple. 1 Chronicles 6:49. But Aaron and his sons offered upon the altar of the burnt offering, and on the altar of the incense, and were appointed for all the work of the place most holy, and to make an atonement for Israel, according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. You see, the altar of burnt offering was upon the altar of incense. That's why they put all this frankincense and all this nice, sweet-smelling silver. That the life, these are symbol of where the Christian life become a sweet-smelling silver unto God. And so Paul was saying, okay, the thing that you've given to me. You know, I believe that the saints in Philippi gave to Paul the very thing that he really required. I don't know what it is. It must have been just exactly what Paul needed. And I believe that God made known to the saints in Philippi what Paul actually needed. You understand? Something that will really bless him and make him to the full. He says, I have abundance. I have abound. All. I'm full. You know? My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. My God, now read again, but my God shall supply all your desire. Am I reading right? Well, I know you are not sleeping, are you? But my God shall supply all your desire. No. You know, God don't supply all your desire. Lord, I need a car. All you say, I'll never have a car. If you give me a car, I'll go take a license. You think God will give me a car? It's not what you desire. It's what you need. Need means something that is necessity. Huh? Is that alright? A necessity. I don't need a car, you see. So, if I want a car, then I'll have a good reason why I need a car. I don't need a car, so forth, therefore I don't want it. But I do need a motorcycle to get around. So, I need a motorcycle, that's all I want. God supplied the motorcycle. So, one of these days, I don't need a motorcycle, I just get a bicycle. That's enough, I'll get a bicycle. Fine now. Do you understand? So, God supplied all that is required. Not our desire, not what we greed for or covet. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's a special one. God did not give you the need because you are special. Are you all special? Of course you are special in some way. But you are not really the special one. But Christ will supply to you your need because you are special to God. According to His riches in glory by the very special one. The only one. And it's Christ Jesus. The only begotten Son. We are sons and daughters of God. That's true, isn't it? Is it? But by God's riches which He already imparted to us, the inheritance, His inheritance, Christ's inheritance was given to us. So that must make us little Messiah, as Barbara would say, little God, little children, sons and daughters of God, we are all. Isn't it? Amen? Now this verse is God's blank check. You know blank check? My God shall supply all my needs. You know, how much? Put there. What do you need? Put there. You know. And you believe that God will give it to us when we needed it? Sure. How many of you need $1 million? Let me see your hand. You can put out your hand and cut it off. Because you don't need $1 million, do you? Do you? No. But in the Philippines, you know, there are many that even need, they need probably 100 pesos. Just they find even 100 pesos they don't have. So if I was there, how many of you need 100 pesos? They put up their hand. They do. So if I ask you, do you need $10? Of course, I don't think you need $10 because you already have $10. You have more than $10 in your bank. All your kids should have. Don't tell me you don't have. In my days when I was young, I don't have. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So let every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with me, greet you. All the saints salute you. Chiefly they are of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You know, unto God and our Father be glory. You know what glory is? The glory is His word, is His life shine forth through the word given unto us. You know, right? So to God be the glory. Be the glory. Be the glory. Potential. Be the glory. Oh yes, you know one thing, one of these days Jesus Christ would take the bride and He said, Father, the glory. That's my glory. Do you remember that? That's what? Because you are covered with the word of God. The word of God is His glory. And His glory was Jesus Christ make manifest. Right? The word of God was made manifest in Jesus Christ and He gave that glory to the bride. Huh? To God be the glory. True. He is the glory because He is the word. But since the word is imparted to us, one this we have to be presented as the fruit of that glory. Amen. Amen. And so, salute every saints, the brethren which are with me, greet you. Not every brethren, but the one that was with me, greet you. All the saints, salute you chiefly, they are of the Caesar's household. I don't know which Caesar that is. Not Julius Caesar, but some other Caesar's household, which we do not know about, salute you. And the grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We thank the Lord for this book of Philippians. There are a lot of richness in this book. But the most of all important is, to have joy, you need to have the Word. You need to have the life of the Word. You need to have the revelation. And then when it's in your heart, you know how true that is. The only joy that God, the only thing that God gives us that would keep us in that state. Peace, joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy truth, Lord, for thy word is truth. Giving us the understanding, Father, the revelation, the knowledge in the life that we live, how the Father, we need to always to walk close to thee. And knowing that, Lord, the day we live in are fast closing, and what manner of man or woman we are, therefore ought to be, Lord, to find ourselves always staying close to with you. Should there be any time, Father, we have trial and tribulation and doubt and whatever. Because we realize, Father, that the world we are living now, it's in such a condition, Lord, that there might be some who would doubt, is Christ going to come? Is the Lord Jesus coming back? Or is this world going to continue for another 30, 50 years? Or is prophecy going to be fulfilled soon? We ask all these many questions. And I believe, Lord, it has been going on. And Lord, because of all this, there might be some drifting far away from You in their life, in their spiritual life, in their walk with You. Lord, speak unto them, Lord, and says, come back. There is a place by Me, stand alone upon the rock. And we know, Father, You will always be there to help. Always be there to bring, you know, Your blessing down as You stretch forth Thy hand and lift up a brother or a sister who is low down in spirit. And we thank You for Paul, who has such a high example, Lord, who learned in all his walk with You all these years as Your servant, the many years that he has been, he learned how to live the life, whether it be on a mountain or in the valley, when he have and when he have not, where he is in health and when he is in sickness, Lord. He was able to live and be content. So Father, may we learn from this, Lord, to be content. And most of all to know that You are in control of all situations. Tomorrow You hasn't come, but you are still in control of it. Whatever pass already, Lord, You have controlled and brought us to this day. And whatever will be today, Father, we know that You will hold us too in Your hand. So we give all the praise and the glory for Your love towards us. And we thank You, Lord, for blessing us in the riches, O Lord, that are given to us because of Jesus Christ. We know You grant us all our need, not our desire, not what we covet, Lord, but what we need. So we ask for Your blessing this day in Jesus' name. Amen.